couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about the films Palm Springs, Psych 2, Lassie Come Home, Useless Humans, and the TV series Cursed on Netflix. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup featuring a spotlight on Trolls World Tour and a look back at The Kiss of the Vampire. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
The first piece of news is a little bit of a correction I have here. I got a little apology. I made a mistake last week in my review of Greyhound. I was contacted by a listener, John from South Dakota, to let me know that I got the ship wrong. And that's a big deal. Look, I mean, I'm not in the Navy, and I'm not in the military. So for me, it all just kind of runs together. So I had called it a battleship. Apparently it's a destroyer, which is a much bigger, more powerful ship and much more formidable opponent. So my apologies, especially to our naval servicemen out there who, if that caught you wrong, I'm not at all trying to say, oh, it's all the same, because it's not, because it's a level of detail that I don't understand, and my apologies for that. So yes, Greyhound with Tom Hanks, still a great movie, but he's in charge of a destroyer and not a battleship. So thanks, John, from South Dakota. The next piece of news is one that we've been talking about practically every week for a couple months, and that is about movies returning. And one of the things I've said from the beginning is this is a huge thing with lots of working interwoven parts, and none of this stuff is going to happen like a light switch. And there's this chicken or the egg thing that's happening about whether you're going to get movies released in theaters by the studio and whether the theater's going to be ready to open up again. Infection rates elsewhere, they're spiking in certain areas of the country, and you have some areas of the country that aren't. And even in states, I live in Ohio, and in central Ohio, where I'm from, most of the counties in central Ohio are spiking, and they're kind of alarming. Whereas you kind of go out in the middle of nowhere in Ohio, an outlier area between the big cities, and you'll see much more reasonable rates. And that's a lot to have to do with population and interactions and travel. But if obviously in the larger cities of any state, whether it's Ohio or Florida or Texas or California, you will find the spikes happening in bigger populated areas. That's not to say that they're not bad in rural areas, because, you know, a small rural hospital can get overrun extremely fast. So you don't need that many cases there. But no matter what, we're still dealing with that, and this is not under control at all in the wild, no matter what anybody thinks, it's not. And this guy named Doug Krutz, I think is how you pronounce it, he's an analyst for a research company called Cowen, and it was reported in the Hollywood Reporter and then throughout the entertainment journalism circles that cinemas probably won't be open until well into 2021. Now, they're talking fiscal year, so the end of the 2020 fiscal year is in September. And he's basically said you can just write that all off. Movies are not opening until at least the 2021 fiscal year. But even then, that 2021 fiscal year starting, you might be 3 to 6 months in before you get movies back up. So we may not see movies up and running until next spring. Tenet's supposed to open in 4 weeks, guys. 4 weeks from this past Wednesday. You can't buy tickets for Tenet. I've tried. So even though they've got a release date and it's less than 4 weeks away right now, it's not available. It's not going to happen, people. Tenet is not coming out on August 12th, and Mulan is not going to come out on August 20th. These things just won't happen because these movies need the money. I read another article that said that the amount of money they spent on Tenet, they need like $800 million just to break even. Which means it needs to be a $1 billion movie. And every month we wait, the number gets higher because they've extended themselves. Because the way movies work, each movie is really kind of its own business. And you're basically running that business on borrowed money until the box office comes in. And the longer you wait, the more interest piles up from that borrowed money. So by the time Tenet releases, it might have to just be $1 billion just to break even. And they're not going to drop it in theaters and make it make $600 million and then take a $400 million bath on this thing. But the bottom line is, what can people do? What can you do? Well, here's what you can do. You want things to go back to normal? You want the economy to open up completely? Wear a mask, socially distance, and follow the rules. I don't understand this concept of not doing the required rules to make something happen, but still wanting that thing to happen. You're like a guy who wants to lose weight, and you say, well, okay, you need to eat less and exercise more. Well, I don't want to. That's against my freedoms. Well, that's fine. You don't have to, but you also won't get your weight under control if you don't eat less and exercise more. If it doesn't affect them personally, it doesn't exist. Look at what happened with Chuck Woolery. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking very specifically. He tweeted on one day that it was a hoax. He tweeted the next day, oh crap, my son has it. And then he deleted his Twitter account. Now, I mean, that's awful that your son has it. But here's a great example of somebody that was only real once somebody who they loved came close to it. And look at something like cops. Do you realize that more cops have died from COVID-19 contracted in the line of duty than any other thing? Cops are dying in record numbers. The best numbers I saw was, like, at this point, there's like 124 deaths of law enforcement. Last year, for the whole year, it was 147. We've almost reached the number just in half of the year. So look, if you're one of the people who wants blue lives to matter, blue lives matter. Protect yourself and protect the community. Everyone should be doing this. That is the bare minimum. But if you keep ignoring the problem and you engage in behavior that spreads the virus and you refuse to engage in behavior that will stymie the virus, you ain't going nowhere. Movies not opening is 100% our fault, because people aren't doing enough to just stop the virus from spreading. So you want movies to open again? Wear your mask, socially distance, follow the rules. Be a good person. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one I want to hit is Project Power, which comes from Netflix, and it starts streaming on August 14th.
Welcome to Project Power. Our goal is simple: the next evolution of the human species.
Here, take one of those before.
It can make you strong, make you invisible. You never know what your power is until you try it.
You push that power, don't you?
Yeah. On the streets, they're talking about superpowers, but then they're talking about how one hit could kill you. What's the plan now?
You took something from me. I gotta get it back.
That's on one.
This is a, you know, sort of a superhero adjacent movie. You've got Jamie Foxx in it, and that feels like he's sort of stepping into that bad guy in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 that he got into. But this looks like it might be an interesting action movie. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it playing his overly sarcastically smug Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is usually his worst type of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. But I'll watch it. It looks sort of interesting. The other one I want to hit really quickly is The One and Only Ivan, which streams on Disney Plus on August 14th.
The One and Only
Why do they want an angry gorilla anyway?
You're a silverback. He terrifies humans.
Who's that?
My sister.
Where's your sister now?
I don't remember.
Memories never leave us. They just get out of reach.
Whoa, did you draw all these?
A gorilla?
Who draws?
This looks cute. I mean, this looks like your standard Disney movie. I don't know if this was always going to go to Disney Plus, but I can see this as a movie that opened on middle to late August in theaters. I don't know if it ever pivoted, but it looks like it's a cute, warm-hearted kids movie with animals to it. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll check it out. It looks at least, it looks like it might be, watchable for a couple hours. Anyways, that's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Palm Springs and useless humans.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we?
and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Today's first movie I'm going to be talking about is Palm Springs. A man and a woman at a wedding discover themselves in an infinite time loop and learn to live with each other as companions in the process.
Good day so far?
Today, tomorrow, it's all the same.
You, what is going on?
Guess you followed me. It's one of those infinite time loop situations you might have heard about.
That I might have heard about?
Yeah.
The second you fall asleep, it all just goes back to the start.
Well, then what's the point of living?
We kind of have no choice but to live.
So now what do we do?
You just have to embrace the fact that nothing matters.
Let's waste some time.
This one dropped on Hulu actually last week. This is done by the Lonely Island's involved in it, and that's, of course, Andy Samberg's company. But this one is a little bit more of a rom-com. It also stars Christine Maloney. I think I said her name right. She's best known. Most people will recognize her as the real mother from How I Met Your Mother, which I always felt bad for her in that because here's the thing. She gets this huge sitcom. She gets her big break on this huge sitcom that's super well known and everyone hated what happened to her. It just didn't work out. I felt so bad for her. Then she showed up in a couple things here and there. So she's finally getting some starring roles. And she's good. I think she's very funny. I think she works well. And she works against Andy Samberg really, really well. The two of them have really good chemistry. And that's the key. If you're going to have a romantic comedy, there's got to be chemistry. Because if there isn't chemistry, you kind of have a dud of a movie. One of the things I did like about this movie is it starts out with him already being in the time loop. He's been in there for a while, and she ends up getting into the time loop. So that allows her to be the audience surrogate and get it explained to her. And then you kind of watch, and she doesn't have to discover everything for herself. She's got his knowledge of going through that thousands and thousands of times, reliving that day over again. So I think that was an interesting structure to it. Now, what's funny about this movie, I think it's cute. My wife and I watched it. Now, my wife's a huge romantic comedy fan. This is a little bit more edgier. This is one of those R-rated romantic comedies. It's got a little bit more of that sex edge to it. It's got a little bit more swearing and some more raunch to it. My wife tends to be more of that PG-13 rom-com, you know, the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore stuff, you know, like The Wedding Singer and 51st Dates and stuff from Reese Witherspoon and, you know, like the classic Julia Roberts stuff like My Best Friend's Wedding and Pretty Woman. So she's less into the millennial everyone's going to have sex with everybody else motif that happens in some of these films. But one of the things we both concurred, we both liked it. We thought it was cute. We thought it was cute. We didn't think it was great. It's worth watching. If you like romantic comedies and you like these actors as in comedians, it's fun to watch. It's not the greatest movie ever, though. But I've seen people just go bonkers for this movie. It's the same thing happened with The Old Guard last week. People were gushing over The Old Guard, and I didn't understand why. But I realized the more and more I read about the thing, like The Old Guard, there's two of the characters, they're men, and so they have a relationship, and the female character is not there to fall in love with anybody, and they love that because it broke those molds. I think that's why people are gushing over Palm Springs, because the female character is just not there to be attained by the guy. In fact, if you actually look at the structure, it's more her movie because you get more of her background. He does not, you don't get background for him at all. He's lived in this loop so long that he is who he is every day there. It is more her movie than his movie, and she's got a little bit more character and more development and more background. And you can have a movie be equally both people. You get that a lot with Nora Ephron stuff. I would have a hard time saying, even though you, I guess you could say Sleepless in Seattle is kind of Tom Hanks movies, but Meg Ryan's gets a lot of that too in terms of development. Same thing with Harry Met Sally, you know, something like that. Another Nora Ephron, well, it was written by Nora Ephron movie. It's a lot of the Nancy Meyers movies tends to balance those as well. So this one kind of has them both as the main character. And there's even a scene in there where she has to make the stand of being like, I don't have to be with you. I choose to be with you kind of thing, which that speaks to the narrative a lot of people want in these things. And that's fine. I really don't care. I just want a cute movie where the guy and girl fall in love in a romantic comedy sort of way. And this does that, but it also tips its hat to all the, it has a golf card that, that it's been able to tick off all the boxes that people like, you know, feminism and sex positive, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to have to say I enjoyed Palm Springs, but it wasn't great. But I'll still say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Useless Humans. A group of friends get together after 10 years for a weekend of drinking only to encounter invading aliens.
This is Brian, a down-on-his-luck degenerate who can't catch a break. These are Brian's degenerate friends.
It's your bad, man. It's your bad.
They haven't been together in 10 years. But tonight, they are returning home for a 30th birthday they will never forget.
Oh, whoa. What is that?
Guys, there's something wrong with my phone.
A party crasher that is out of this world.
Oh, my God, it's a real alien!
First of all, this setup for this movie is one of the oldest ones of unproduced independent film scripts. Before I got into film criticism, I was doing my own version of filmmaking. I was doing independent work in the late 90s, early 2000s. And whenever somebody finds out that you are a filmmaker, they always have a script they want to give you. And you end up reading people's scripts. And most of them are absolute garbage. They just are. I'm sorry. Most independent scripts are terrible. Most people can't write. I'm sorry. Most people are not writers and they want to make a movie. And so they learn how to write a screenplay. But if you're not a writer, you're not a writer. It's an organic thing about it. And I have spread so many stories about a group of people that were big friends in high school. And there was always the girl that was in there. One of them was always a girl. And she was like one of the guys, but the main guy was in love with her and he was a big whiny butt. And he's like, oh, but I always wanted her, but she was always with some jerk guy. That is the story. It's the only thing that saves that part of it is they don't take themselves too serious. There are a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. And even though some of them are like, one guy's a doctor and he's married to a beautiful woman and he's got twins, but all that's falling apart on him. You know, everybody's gone and done their own thing, but their lives are kind of falling apart. It's the early midlife crisis that most people do in their late 20s and early 30s. And at least they are so sort of debauchery for the weekend types because they're just going back to what they did in high school that at least I felt that it avoided that overly morose, overdone independent film story that I've read a billion times. And then you throw in an alien invasion and it makes it kind of fun. The alien invasion reminds me a little bit of The Watch, the one with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and Richard Iowati as the neighborhood watch, and there are these aliens, or even something like Attack the Block. It's not nearly as smart of a script, but that's sort of kind of playing in the background and propelling them to do something different in an otherwise coming-of-age type story. It's okay. It's about 75 minutes long, and you can get through it quickly. It's on VOD right now. I enjoyed it for what it was. Ultimately, it's like drinking a little bit too much with your friends from high school, and then aliens show up. So you're sort of doing this in this B-movie bottle. And for that, it works, but it's, you know, it really is just kind of a silly little romp of a movie. So I'll have to say, Useless Humans, I'm going to be nice and say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Psych 2, Lassie Come Home, and Cursed. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews and talk about Psych 2, Lassie Come Home. Sean and Gus are back helping Carlton Lassiter, who is in a medical facility after being shot in the line of duty and suffered a stroke on the operating table.
Surprise! Surprise! Surprise!
Who the hell are you guys?
I'm a psychic.
He is a sympathetic pooper.
There's a lot of strange stuff going on around here.
Ghosts.
Not necessarily ghosts.
But probably ghosts. No more embarrassing nicknames.
We can't just stop doing bits we've been doing for 10 years.
My name's Sean Spencer. This is my partner, Lego, my ego.
No.
Gus,
we're home.
You can give me some Chewy.
This is one of the reunion movies for the TV series Psych. Psych was on in the 2000s. I think it had like 7 or 8 seasons. And then in 2017, they did a Psych movie and they aired it on USA, which is where the show aired. Well, now NBC has released its own streaming service called Peacock, and it's mostly free. I say mostly because there is a premium side to it. But you can sign up for the free service, and they've got, I don't know, what was the number I saw? 13,000 hours of content. That's free. It's got movies and television shows, classic TV, new TV, movies from the way in the past and other ones. And it's basically run by NBC Universal. So they're pulling mostly from the Universal library as well as the NBC series library. There are some hiccups to the service. The free content is there, but of course you have ads, and that's fine. You got to deal with that. If you don't want to pay, you're going to have to watch ads. The catch, though, is I think it's like $7.99 a month, which isn't bad for the amount of content, and I think it takes the ads off, and then you get extra stuff. There's certain shows and movies that you can't access unless you have the premium. The catch to this, though, is it's not available everywhere. I mean, you can get it on your phone anywhere you want to. So if you have a mobile device, like an iPhone or an iPad, you can get it. And like if you got a new TV, like my wife in her room, she's got a relatively new smart TV, and she could go to the App Store, and it's there. Now, I have a TV upstairs in our living room that's about 8 or 9 years old, and that doesn't run anything. So a lot of times we've gotten a Roku box. Well, it's not available on Roku. It's also not available on Amazon Fire Stick. There's some rights issue there, which means I can't watch it in my living room unless I hook up my computer to it. That's going to certainly impact me from paying for this. I can tell you that. Until I can just turn it on my TV at home, make it available for Roku. Because the thing is, you can have a TV and the TV can last for 20 years, and then you just get a new Roku box for like $40 every couple of years, and it's got new firmware and it runs. So that's one of the problems in this. But let's talk about the movie itself. This one, it's a reunion show, so of course you've got everybody back. You got Sean and Gus doing their goofy, crazy scene, and they're trying to help Carlton solve it's a mystery. He doesn't know what it is. He's seen things in this facility where he's staying. It's a really nice medical facility, sort of this home that helps people out. It's actually way nicer than you'd have in a hospital. And of course, you got Maggie Lawson showing up again as Jules, and you got the chief showing up. You got a lot of the characters showing up again from the series, which is fun. But the reason you watch this is for the antics of Sean and Gus, and they're very good. I mean, these guys are friends already in real life, and it clicks. They start working again really well, and it's a basic standard Psych story. You know, there's a little bit of murder, a little bit of violence, a little bit of craziness. There's suspects, and there's some bait and switch, and there's some red herrings going on. The thing I found that really touched me about this is, if you know the backstory, Timothy Ombudsman, who plays Carlton Lassiter, and he played him in the series, he suffered a stroke himself. I think it was in 2016 or 2017. So he had a stroke a couple years ago. And in the 2017 Psych movie, they showed him real quickly on a FaceTime image, and you could tell they edited around his ability to speak, because his speech had been impaired from the stroke. Well, and then what they did is they took that element to his life, because, you know, here we are 3-4 years later, and they worked it into the movie. And you could tell that that's a real sweet thing, because they were a family making this show. They liked each other. Everybody got along, and they wanted to do something. At least that's the appearance that it gives, not just from watching the series, but watching anything from behind the scenes, and they would have these sort of fan events that they do online where they'd show their highest rated episodes all night long, and people would tweet about it, and they had the actors tweeting. So you could tell that there's love there. And now my father had a stroke, so I have intimate knowledge of what strokes do to you. And you watch and you look at Timothy Ombudsman, and you can tell he's still impaired. He still has some physical impairments, and you can tell they're sort of editing around some speech difficulty. But the fact that they worked it into the character and made it viable for this was, I thought, just the most sweet, tender thing you could see. You need more of that. And watching the emotion of the people as they're dealing with in the series, you know that that's what they were also feeling in real life. So it does have this, you know, the more you know about why they made this movie and how they made this movie, it kind of makes it a better movie. I mean, it's still kind of fun, but knowing that they put it in there, you just kind of get this like sweet little warm feeling inside. So I'm going to have to say, you know, all that taken into considered, Psych 2, Lassie Come Home, totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Cursed. This alternate telling of the Arthurian legends follows Nimue, a young woman branded a witch, as she goes through her journey to control Excalibur.
They took everything from us. Because magic runs through us.
Our mission is the extinction of magic.
Mother?
There's something you must do. Take this to Merlin.
I promised her. I will keep that promise.
This is a 10-episode series on Netflix. It's, of course, pushing to get another series. You get to the end of it, it's not completely over. But it's this different way of doing the Arthurian legend. And we've seen this multiple times. This is a storyline that's been adapted a billion times. And so they come at it from Nimue's experience. And so she runs into all these characters throughout the 10 episodes. You know, she runs into Arthur. She runs into Merlin. She runs into Morgana. And she has these sorceress powers or these magical powers. And of course, because she's branded a witch, they have these paladins going after her. So it's your basic medieval action movie. And I felt at one point, I said to my wife while I was watching it, I said, this kind of feels like The Witcher. You know, that one with Henry Cavill? I was not a fan of The Witcher. I thought it was convoluted and overwritten. But it kind of feels like it's that same thing, where you have this lone character making his or her way and knowing some of the characters in the countryside, but of course having to fight a bigger battle. But it's like The Witcher, but told by the CW. Nimue's played by Catherine Langford, who's a beautiful girl. And she is very much somebody you'd expect to see on the CW. She's very pretty, and it feels like it's aimed certainly at teenage girls and 20-something women. Which is fine. I mean, I'm not that demographic. So a little bit of it was lost, but it does have all those elements you would expect. It doesn't have that bloody edge that The Witcher has. I mean, it still has violence and gore and blood in there, but it's much more from the female perspective. And considering how male-heavy the Arthurian legend is, with Arthur and Merlin and Excalibur being, you know, just a giant symbol of manhood, if you know what I mean. Even though you have Morgana in there and you have the Lady of the Lake, there are female characters. It's Arthurian legend's very male, very full of testosterone. And so this is sort of the estrogen version of Excalibur. So, I mean, it's fine for what it is. Not my cup of tea, but I think it's fine for, something. And I think it'll go for the audience that it's going for. So I'm going to have to say that Cursed kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the box office and then launch into the Home Cinema Roundup featuring Trolls World Tour and The Kiss of the Vampire.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the box office a little bit because there's a couple things of note. One of the things with the whole shutdown of theaters and the coronavirus taking the ability to gather in large masses and see something in an arena or theater setting, this entire year, all of 2020 is going to have an asterisk by everything. You know, 2020 is going to be the weirdest year to look at box office. You know, 10 years from now, people are going to look back and be like, good God, what the heck happened? And this is going to spill over into 2021. There's going to be weird box office that lingers through 2021 and hopefully kick starts back up and we get, you know, regular movies again. But the biggest thing is in terms of the box office take, not even in the movies that are released, because there have been movies released throughout and thanks to streaming services. But what's interesting is there's been some weird little box office notable things. One of the little notable box office things that's happened this summer is The Wretched topped the box office for like something like 7 weeks in a row, like 5 weeks in a row, which is right alongside with like stuff like Titanic and Avatar. It's this tiny little horror movie and it did that. Another one is I remember seeing The Invisible Man spent like 2 months not in the top 10, but then not topping the box office, but then coming back and winning something. And so it's these weird things showing up because of everything being shut down. And we had something like that happen this week. Empire Strikes Back was re-released in theaters, now mostly in drive-ins and a couple brick and mortar theaters that were open. And so for the third time in its entire existence, it topped the box office. And not the first third week, but the third chunk of time. It topped the box office first in 1980 when it opened 40 years ago. And then when the special edition came out in, I think, 1997, it topped the box office again. And for the third time on its 40th anniversary, it topped the box office. It only made $611,000, which is nothing in terms of the money that Star Wars brings in. But that's a kind of a neat little thing. Like, you know, over the 4th of July weekend, Ghostbusters from 1984 topped the box office with $500,000. And then a couple weeks before that, Jurassic Park won with $517,000. So while they're not raking the dough, you're seeing these weird leaders of the box office. And again, this is all going to have an asterisk by it in future dealings with the box office. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. Now, last week, Trolls World Tour came out, and I mentioned it. Of course, it hit DVD and Blu-ray, and you could own it with all these special features. You know, one thing I don't know is I don't know if you bought it when it came out in April, if you get these special features now, or if you had to do a different buy-in. But there's a bunch of special features to it. But first of all, let's talk about this as a release. Trolls World Tour, Rock Troll Barbara plans on gathering all the magical strings from all the types of trolls to control music forever.
I'm Queen Barb of the Hard Rock Trolls. I'm here to take your string, bro.
Ooh, don't do it, man!
We lose our string, we lose our music.
I'm gonna unite the six strings and destroy all music, except for rock!
I can't believe another queen would use her power for evil.
These other trolls aren't like us.
If Barb collects all the strings, our music will be destroyed forever.
Back when this came out in April, I remember saying, I was not a huge fan of the first Trolls movie. I just did not like it. I thought it had a weird mixed message to it. And I'm annoyed with the trolls anyways. I never liked the dolls. And so they made a movie out of it. I'm like, well, that makes it even worse. So I was really sort of blowing lukewarm on the first Trolls that came out a couple years ago. But then this came out, and when it came out in the middle of the coronavirus first surge, well, we're still in the first surge, but the first part of the first surge, this was exactly what we needed. It was bright, and it was colorful, it was optimistic, and it was fun, and it popped you out of life for a little bit, and you can enjoy some cotton candy flavored fun to get your mind off all the garbage that's going on in the world today. And I feel the same way about it now. I watch it. It's a great little movie to have. You can play it in the background. I mean, it's fun. It's a cute little movie you can watch with the kids. But it's also got this weird, irreverent dissection of music. There's a whole section in there where they explain why the pop trolls have cannibalized other types of music and appropriated it, like funk and techno, and how they kind of leave everybody else in the dust and then claim it as their own and sort of make it the sort of the Christopher Columbus of music, which I think is really kind of hilarious because that's totally what pop music is. So this movie is, it's fun. It's cute. It actually has a lot of thought to it and has a lot of, actual smart things going on in terms of cultural differences and how they work together and how they really are related. Now, the special features on there, it's also loaded with those. Now, most of the special features, they have like the dance party mode where you can watch the movie, but then they have trailers and they have virtual maps. Like they basically show the different troll worlds, and there's one of those for each of those, everything from classical to techno to vibe to the volcanic rock city. So those are kind of neat to explore. There's also a couple shorts, or little segments. There's one about the tiny, those is the little, the new troll that got made for this one and how they put together some of the music. They have a bunch of music videos and a bunch of deleted scenes. So that's most of it is music videos, deleted scenes, those tours of the troll world. They also have these how to dance academy things that teach you just different dance moves. But then there's your standard, behind the stage of it, behind the characters, behind the voices. And so it has plenty of stuff to enjoy. So you've got like a good 2 hours of content in addition to the movie itself, which comes with the features on demand as well as on a disc. So I'm going to have to say Trolls World Tour, the home video release, totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about The Kiss of the Vampire. This comes from Shout Factory, one of my favorite distributors right now in terms of releasing some classic content. And this is a Hammer film from the 60s. In The Kiss of the Vampire, Hammer Films presents this gothic tale about a young married couple who are trapped in a web of a vampire cult while on vacation.
The Kiss of the Vampire.
You know what a vampire is?
Yes. I've heard of vampire bats.
No, not bats. Vampires. Human vampires.
The Kiss of the Vampire is a spine-chilling drama of two young people who strayed by chance into a nightmare in a twilight world of terror.
Like any of the Hammer films, this has a lot of gothic scenery to it. It takes place in an older town. It takes place in the early part of the 20th century. They have a car. That's how you can sort of peg the time zone. It was made in the 60s, so it's not, it hasn't gotten overtly bloody and gory yet, although there is a little bit of that, but it was more about atmosphere and presence and the actors. It doesn't have any of the classic, it has a couple classic actors from the Hammer days, including Edward D'Souza, but it doesn't have like the big ones that you recognize, like Peter Cushing or Christopher Lee. But you know, this is a neat little movie. I enjoyed it as just a throwaway little vampire film. Of course, you know where it's all going because they're vampires. I mean, how hard is it to guess what's on a vampire's mind? But if you're looking to sort of fill out your 1960s cult movie collection from Hammer Films, this is a lesser known one, a smaller one. It's not the one that everybody knows about. Like I said, it's stuff with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee tend to top those lists, but it's a well-made little vampire movie. It's got some thrills. It's got some sex. It's got some action to it. And the special features, they got like a new audio commentary on it. And then, of course, they have the original audio commentaries with some of the stars. They got deleted scenes and the theatrical trailer. And they have a spotlight on two of the guys who worked in Hammer to kind of bring everything to life. But ultimately, I mean, it's also worth seeing simply because the scan of it, the new version of it, it looks great. I mean, you go on YouTube and look up the trailer for this. You can barely see it. It looks like somebody taped it on VHS tape and then turned the brightness down. But this thing looks great. The scan is fantastic. So if you're a fan of old British horror movie, if you're a fan of the gothic stuff that Hammer put out, and want to find something that's a little less known than the horror of Dracula, the Curse of Frankenstein, check out The Kiss of the Vampire. It kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
Also out this week are The Magician Season 5, 12 Monkeys, The Complete Series, The Lady Eve on Criterion, and Tokyo Gore Police. And that's it for this week. I need to go. When I come back next week, I'm going to be talking about The Rental. And until then, have a fat time at the movies, at the drive-in, or at home.